On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Our state is in its strongest financial position in more than 50 years. Revenue Secretary Peter Barca on our state cap last month.
You know, we're in the best shape we've been in fiscally in more than a half century. We've got a huge surplus.
So what does that mean for local governments and shared tax revenue from the state? In recent decades, shared revenue has made up a shrinking portion of local government budgets. Join in on shared revenue, 800-642-1234. Jerry DeShane is Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Jerry, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you, and good Monday morning to you, Kate.
Good morning to you as well. So the League is asking the legislature to increase revenue sharing for cities and villages, calling the current system broken. Why do you see it as broken?
Well, and I heard Peter's comments about the state being in the best fiscal shape it's been in years, and I'm not going to pull a tale of two cities here, but the city of Milwaukee laid off 120 cops 2 years ago. There's a disconnect with how well the state is doing with its budgets and how challenged local governments are doing. And the bottom line, it's because the system we have doesn't work. The system is supposed to share money from the state to local governments. That's just not happening. Hasn't happened for about 30 years. Let me say this, to be clear, it's not keeping up with inflation, nowhere near keeping up with inflation.
When you mention Milwaukee's layoffs, that's the largest city in Wisconsin. How are other municipalities doing that are much smaller than Milwaukee?
It frankly is more of the same. Between 2018 and 2019, and this was, keep in mind, before the whole defund the police rally and cry was out there. During that period of time, 59 of Wisconsin's police departments laid off officers. What's happening out there on the local level is we are cannibalizing local budgets because property taxes aren't keeping up with inflation and shared revenue hasn't gone up in a meaningful way in over 30 years. And those are the two primary ways to pay for local government.
Yes, if you could just step back and explain how local governments in Wisconsin fund services. What does that pie look like?
Well, the biggest piece of the pie is the property tax bill that you pay with your monthly rent check or that you pay once a year on your house. That represents roughly 53% or more. The next biggest piece of the pie is shared revenue. That's about 25% of the total. It's higher in some places, smaller in other places. And then the remaining 25% or so is made up of fees, utility fines, just a kind of a mishmash. You know, your late fee at the library, Kate, although I'm sure you never had any of those. But the real drivers, the real workhorses, if you will, are property taxes and shared revenue. And we have, frankly, the most stringent system in the entire country. Our property taxes are locked down tight. They only go up by the value of new houses that are built in a year in a given community. And as I said several times now, shared revenue, that is the state coming in to share sales and income taxes, hasn't moved in over 30 years. That is a recipe for disaster.
Jerry, what should that pie look like? What do you see in a reform vision for shared revenue?
You know, when you talk to people about your retirement income, what do they tell you? They tell you to diversify. That's what Wisconsin does not do with local government finance. At the state level, you have sales tax, you have income tax, you have corporate taxes. Then you have a variety of federal funds and all of that other thing. In Wisconsin, it's sales and it's property and shared revenue. That's it. We don't really have a sales tax option. There's a small handful of cities and villages that have what's called a premier resort area tax. Counties have a 0.5% sales tax. But if you're, say you live in the village of Oregon, mm-hmm. If the Oregon Fire Department, Police Department, Public Works Department, if they need more resources to do the job you need them to do, they can go to referendum but the only thing they can ask the taxpayers for is more property taxes. That's not the way it should be done. There should be more options. You look at other states. Wisconsin has one of the lowest sales taxes in the country. Why isn't a local sales tax option of some form an option here in Wisconsin?
So that would be one way that you could see a positive change on these squeezed local budgets if there was an ability to tax that went directly to local government.
Yes, and a sales tax, you know, I go there only because it's sort of the easiest and most obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, the other option is the state could take a look at shared revenue. And, you know, if you go back in history, I was still around in 1911. That's when the sales tax or the income tax was created.
Mm-hmm.
In 1911, they promised voters in a statewide referendum, if you can imagine that, that 90% of income tax revenue would go back to local governments. It was conceived as a way to fund local government. Today, you're looking at maybe 14% of that. If the legislature and the governor could agree that, you know, we really should be sharing in the true sense of that term, that is another really good option. That's a way of saying, look, we know incomes are generated at the local level. We certainly know that shopping and sales are generated at the local level. We are going to truly share that revenue in a way that keeps step with the economy. We're just simply not doing that now and haven't done that for 30 years.
Talking with Jerry DeShane, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, as we talk about shared tax revenue and the money that state gives to local governments and the piece of that pie. You can join in with your perspective, 800-642-1234. Jerry, Congress provided like $150 billion for state and tribal and local governments through the CARES Act and the pandemic. Hasn't that helped bolster municipalities with their budgets?
It has certainly helped us do some things. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it's one-time money. Kate, that money will be gone within 3 or 4 years. What we're talking about here is an ongoing and generational problem. The other thing that I want to keep reminding people is the legislature itself, legislative leaders warned us, don't spend that federal money on ongoing programming. Hmm. Well, police, fire, ambulance, public works, libraries, those are ongoing programs. So we're talking about short-term versus long-term here. Fixing things the right way rather than putting a Band-Aid on them.
What revenue streams, when you look outside of Wisconsin, do cities in other states have that Wisconsin cities don't have? Who do you look to for some models out there?
Well, and I'm not going to name a specific state as, you know, they are Mecca. They have the perfect solution here because it's different for every state. Depending on the mix of citizens, you have an older population, younger population. Las Vegas, they don't have an income tax because they have so many people coming in and out of their entertainment venues that they raise their revenues that way. Alaska, it's oil revenue. So it varies by state. What I would say, a place like Wisconsin, where we're kind of Midwest average, we're relying too heavily on the property tax. We're not relying hardly at all on the sales tax. I think we ought to take a look at what the income tax does for the state and maybe see if we can do a better job of sharing that locally. Those are probably the major buckets.
Jerry DeShane heads up the League of Wisconsin Municipalities as we discuss the future of shared revenue in our state at a time of flush coffers, skyrocketing inflation. What does that mean to your community? Join in on appropriations for shared revenue and how you see dividing up the state tax collections pie. 800-642-1234. Back in a moment for more State Cap with Jerry DeShane here in the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're discussing the amount of shared revenue the state distributes to local governments that has remained stagnant over a decade while state tax revenue has climbed. Governor Tony Evers had called for increasing shared revenue in his budget, but told us in February,
"We've had great trouble with the Republicans getting shared revenue increased in the state. That's the money that those municipalities use to do their work, including fire and police protection."
Join in on the largest funding source provided by the state to local municipalities, 800-642-1234. Jerry Deshane leads the League of Wisconsin Municipalities with us for about 12 more minutes. Jerry, you hear the governor there talking about supporting shared revenue increase. What has blocked Republican lawmakers from moving forward with changes?
Well, and first of all, let me say this, two things. First of all, we're very grateful for the governor's support. He did propose a 2%, or I forget if I get the number wrong, but he did support an increase in shared revenue. But this is a bipartisan problem. This has gone back not 10 years, not 20 years. It's gone back 30 years. And you've had Republican and Democratic governors, Republican and democratically led legislators. Kate, the problem is I think we've lost the notion that it's shared revenue. It has become just, you know, one more hand in the state budget every year, even though it truly is a part of, and I would argue probably the most important part of government service in Wisconsin. And we've just sort of kind of forgotten that over the years. And that's really unfortunate. It's ironic. This is EMS week. And here I am, you know, the voice of doom, but EMS is funded locally. 80% of the EMS systems in the state are owned and operated by local governments. And you know, they're hurting. It's a combination of people, but a big problem, a big part of the problem is also money. So I guess, Kate, maybe the mayors have done too good a job. I had a conversation with Jake Woodford, the mayor of Appleton, a couple of weeks ago. And Jake said, you know, we can't continue to shield our citizens from the impact of this. They've been behind the scenes duct taping and bailing wiring the system to keep it working and to keep the obvious pain away from citizens. You know, one way you do that is you put off street repairs for 100 years. But they've been able to do that, but those chickens are coming home now. And the mayor said to me, Appleton just isn't going to be able to shield its citizens from the visible impact of this much longer. You're going to see more Milwaukees where we have to lay off cops, even without cutting their budget. Their PD budget didn't go down. But they have 120 fewer officers. So
we have a comment here from Jeff in Delafield, called in and couldn't stay with us. And Jeff says that the current shared revenue system forces smaller municipalities to accept development when they don't want to. Do you understand what Jeff is trying to get at there?
Absolutely. The only way a local government's budget can increase, the only way the tax levy part of their budget can increase, is if they build new development. Mm. That's the factor that is new in state law since, about a decade or so. Just before the Great Recession, we had this great idea, let's tie property tax levies to new development. So you can only raise your property tax levy, again, keep in mind, biggest part of your budget, by the amount of new construction. So yes, you are therefore tied to new development. For most communities, Kate, the problem is not that you're tied to new development. It's that there's just not enough new development mm-hmm. to keep up with inflation.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned being around 1911. And, you know, I want to go back to the 1970s, though, when I was alive. And, you know, the U.S. the U.S. had the general revenue sharing program, which federal funds went to state and local governments that could be used at their discretion. That ended during the Reagan years. But there's been this renewed call for this program of general revenue sharing in the pandemic years. And I'm wondering, what do you make of a U.S. fiscal equalization policy today?
Wow, that is beyond my pay grade. First of all, I would hope the U.S. government could pay for it. But I think if I'm in favor of local shared revenue, then federal shared revenue would also be helpful. But again, to me, it's one more piece of evidence that people recognize there is a problem out there and that we need to take a renewed look. And let's not forget why we send revenues to local governments. There's an ancient principle in representative democracy that says you solve the problem as close to the problem as possible. Mm-hmm. Subsidiarity is the word. What it means is the best government is the one that's closest to the people. Well, in order for that to work, it's a given that that government has to be funded in accord with its needs, and that's what's missing.
Jerry DeShane with us, Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, as we discuss shared revenue, the status now, and the vision for tomorrow among the municipalities he works with. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jerry, how does the reliance on property taxes to fund local services, how does that ultimately affect residents of cities?
We're overdoing it. I mean, it's too much of a good thing. The good news about property taxes is they're very stable. When the economy crashes, property taxes tend to stay the same. Mm-hmm. Now, the bad news in that is, Kate, let's say you're the economy and you lose your job. Well, guess what? The city still says, Kate, your property tax bill hasn't changed. Most other taxes ebb and flow with the economy. And to treat citizens fairly, to kind of match where they are at, you need a more diversified system. I'll tell you where this is going to really pinch Wisconsin is the elderly. People living in their homes on fixed incomes, they have a very limited capacity to absorb increasing property taxes. And yet, again, it's EMS week. The number of EMS calls are continuing to go up in Wisconsin as more and more of our population ages in place. So it really compounds the problem to say to my grandmother, my mother, you know, not only is your property tax bill not going to go down, we need to go to referendum because we have to expand the ambulance service. And the state says the only referendum we can have is a property tax referendum. We think there should be other options on the table.
When you talk with lawmakers, what do they tell you in these situations?
I think there's a growing, and I won't say consensus because it's not there yet. I think there's a growing realization that this is a problem that needs to be fixed. Lawmakers, they talk to their first responders back at the local level, and they hear the growing problem. I think we are getting closer to a place where we can fashion a consensus. A Republican-led legislature is going to be very fiscally conservative, and that's a good thing. That's what the public wants. But I would say you can do that and still have a diversified system. I'm hopeful we'll get there this next legislative session. If not then, perhaps within a session and a half. I know a lot of my cities were not happy to hear me say that just now.
Hmm. Could shared revenue at all be tied to inflation? As inflation soars, so would that piece shared revenue? Or, you know, can you fashion something that would be more connected to the cost of living?
Absolutely. And I don't want to get stuck on any one solution because, as you're pointing out, there are dozens of ways to do this. Income tax in Wisconsin has essentially tripled since 1993. In that same period of time, shared revenue, the money that goes back to first responders, hasn't moved at all. It's been the same amount of money. So tie us to the economy. Yes, please.
We heard from Steve in Madison, called, couldn't stay with us. And Steve wants to see more federal money, more federal help to go toward things like trains and other forms of transportation, and other ways of getting around communities and have those funds come from the federal government. What would you tell Steve?
I would tell Steve that you're seeing a lot of that in the bipartisan infrastructure law. They increased funding for the whole swath of transportation by something like, oh, I'm going to get the number wrong, 25%. It's substantial. But I also want to say the state legislature, Republicans in the legislature, increased transportation funding at the state level. So there is hope on the transportation side, Steve. What we're looking at is the entire other part of the operation of local government, and no help is there yet.
When you say there might be, you know, some good news on the horizon a year and a half down the way, can local governments wait that long, or are they out of time before they really have to cut into the bone of services?
I think Mayor Cavalier Johnson of Milwaukee is probably going to be on the phone to me this week chastising me. Milwaukee is already cutting. Other cities are already cutting. The pain is already with us. I'm just being a political pragmatist, looking at how long will it take to assemble a legislative consensus. I would be hopeful we could do it in 2023. That's the right answer. Because, you know, unfortunately, as we've seen, there are consequences to these decisions. You know, we saw that in Milwaukee over the weekend. And that's not all about money. There are other factors at play, right? But how you deal with these problems locally has a great deal to do with money.
Jerry, thank you for joining us.
Kate, it was a pleasure, and I hope I didn't run on too long.
No, you did not. Jerry DeShane is Executive Director of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities. Just ahead, we take a hike along Wisconsin's Ice Age Trail with one of its volunteers of 30 years and a through hiker who is the subject of a new documentary film. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.